Hey guys, welcome to The Exchange. On this episode, we have April from Granola Girl. How are you?
Great, thank you. Hi, thanks.
Sunil. How you doing?
Great, thanks.
Thanks for coming on to The Exchange. Really appreciate that. Tell me more about Granola Girl and how it got started.
Well, Granola Girl was incorporated in 2011. I've been a home baker, a professional home baker, for about 20 years, because before this I had a wedding cake company. And it just became a way for me to continue baking, but create more of a wholesome formulation that people could have every day instead of for just special occasions. So it was inspired by a personal trainer that I was working with who suggested these superfoods called goji berries and hemp hearts. At that time, not very many people heard about it. So I created a granola cereal out of it. And the original intention was to create a granola bar, but I didn't want to keep adding more sugar. So it just all crumbled. At the end of the day, we ended up with bowls of cereal and it stuck with that. So we just stayed with the granola.
So now, first of all, I actually like the oven in the back.
Yeah, I'm at home in my kitchen.
Right, it's perfect. It just, it suits it, right? You know, you're a baker. Now, is it the one product? Do you have different products, different flavors?
No, it's the one hit wonder. And in the consumer package world industry or grocery industry, usually that is the death of a business when you only have one flavor. Yeah. And you don't diversify. But to be honest with you, I've created like a couple of flavors or a couple of ideas, but what I know to be true is that this really is the best one that everyone's just going to go back to. And I wanted to create something neutral so that people could customize their own flavors and make it taste different depending on what they were eating it with, like different fruit or different flavored yogurts or hot or cold. Like there's so much variety you could do with one flavor. And I knew as a business owner that I didn't want to be stuck with inventory and extra ingredients that I wasn't going to use if it wasn't going to be sold. Now, maybe like I wasn't thinking positively that the other flavors wouldn't sell, but really when I believe in something, I've got to believe in it 100% before I launch it. And with the other ones, I just was a bit stuck on like the design, what it was going to look like, what was it going to be called. So
do you do a test market before you, have you tried different flavors with the test market?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I definitely have. And I know people would be excited about something chocolatey. And I am at the point
right
where I've created like an amazing product already. Now it's just about the design and the appearance, because this bag of granola, I should bring a bag out. Like it's everything. It's the brand. It's what it represents. It's the pink. It's like just aesthetically, visually pleasing to the eye, and it tastes great. So I guess in my mind, if I haven't perfected the second one and not ready to launch it, I don't know, that might just be holding me back. But a lot of people said, just go for it.
Yeah. Why not?
I know.
You got a brand already. You got something that's working. Just, you know, try other things out and go from there. It's like Coca-Cola, right? Their number one seller is, well, I'm not sure about now, but I know years ago, the number one seller was the original Coke. And then they added Coke Zero. They added so many different things to it, but still the number one seller is Coke, right? And they got the brand behind it and everyone knows that brand.
Yeah. And when you're a small business too, just creating another flavor isn't, you know, just something
costly
that happens overnight, right?
Yeah, I know.
Another flavor could be like a whole other $10,000. You've got to order minimums. You have to pay a designer. You have to get new labeling. Even just people said to me, why don't you sell to the States? And I'm like, well, do you know, I have to order about 20,000 bags with new labels in the US. So unless people in the US are screaming for it and dying and waiting for it with deposits, I'm not going to take that risk yet.
Well, it's a technical side too. Now you have to, you know, fit with FDA over there, right?
Exactly.
And labeling. Yeah. And the US organic, whatever that's called, USD. And yeah. You know, that's I got someone involved in the food business about 10 years ago, And it was a short term in and out, just did some testing in it, and the regulations and shelf life and everything like that just scared me and backed away. And back then it was more than that. It was more than 10 years ago, because e-commerce wasn't as big. It was just coming out. But yeah, the retail side scared me. So my next question here is, are you retail or are you online or a little bit of both?
No, we are mostly retail.
Okay.
So I haven't done any online.
Yeah.
And I haven't set that up on my website. If people want to buy online, I usually just redirect them to London Drugs, or now we're just recently on Amazon.ca, but that is through one of my distributors who's handling it.
Got it. So no e-commerce?
No, not from me directly.
Are you trying to go that way, or what's the long goal?
That's definitely a project that would be viable for other people, but also the manpower for me doesn't exist right now. I'm in a co-packer situation. Sorry.
It's all good.
Yeah. And I do want to focus on the retailers. I'm in Western Canada at over 350 stores, and the goal is to go Eastern Canada.
Nice. Yeah. It's good when you go across the nation before you go down south.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, here's another thing. Doing my research here, I find like North. I always break North America, North and South. Not.
Yeah.
I look at BC, Washington, and California as the same. Portland, Oregon, yeah. I do, but not the rest of Oregon, right? And I think we have more in common with them than we do with Toronto and with Montreal, and I think New York and. Areas in the East Coast have more in common there, right? I think our health is more in line with the West Coast. So I think, you know, you're
absolutely right.
Launching that down south.
The region, it is the Pacific Northwest. And you're right, like Portland, Seattle, Washington State have some more similar tastes and lifestyle on the West Coast. Because if we do sell granola out East, they don't quite get it right away, right? They're like, oh, why would I eat granola? But for West Coasters, like, granola is life. You know, we are nature people. Mm-hmm. And so that's just kind of the diet that goes along with it.
Yeah, even Southern California, right? All of California.
Oh, yeah.
Right, like the whole West Coast here. So perfect. So what's new? What's the next venture here for you?
Well, with the Granola Girl, I feel like I've been building and continue building an amazing community. And so I've ventured into doing live events. So I would have like breakfast events, which would be more like fan appreciation events, where I invite people who are engaging with me on Instagram or posting their own stories and videos of how they consume granola. And I want to thank them and host like breakfast parties. But in that, I invite other local businesses from the vegan community, because our granola is vegan, I just create like an entire menu of vegan food. And the women, predominantly women, come over. They not only get to meet me, they meet other fans who are like-minded, right? They all love Granola Girl. They have that in common at the least. And they also meet other local vendors that I get to promote and I get to become friends with. So then it becomes a big collaboration. And this is really something I feel like I do really well. And it's very authentic and genuine connections. Like, I'm not just inviting people to promote Granola Girl. I genuinely want to support other women in business, especially those ones who are starting out. And I invite my community to meet them as well.
How often does this happen?
Well, they were happening twice a year. But now since COVID, I've been hosting a weekly breakfast event where I interview other founders in the community. And it's called Meet the Founder, a breakfast date with Granola Girl.
Could you send me a link to that?
Yeah, for sure. I've been doing it like every single week since the end of March.
Yes.
And I've had really amazing guests on. So,
Do you record it and it goes on like YouTube and Facebook and Instagram?
No, I recorded on Zoom, but again, like you said, there's a lot of editing involved, and yes. Really, I just want people to come on and have this intimate conversation and see what other people are up to. But I think I'm going to switch over once I get the hang of IGTV, because mm-hmm. I noticed like that doesn't really have a time limit, and anyone.
It's got 15 minutes from what I know.
Oh, is it only 15 minutes?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Unless they changed it within the last couple of months, but we put
1 to 15 minutes, right? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, over 1 minute to 15, I think, is the max. Unless you're verified, then I don't think there's a time limit.
Okay, that's the difference.
Then. That's the difference. Yes.
Can't
yes. Verify. Yes, that's the difference. And anything else besides Granola Girl you're working on?
Yeah. So this is all like, actually behind me, you can see there's a bunch of brown boxes. Yes. And this is a collaboration with an online app called My Momentum. It's a health and wellness-based app. And My Momentum has an amazing community. And as you can tell, it's like very active, very community-based. And they have a beautiful community where they present fitness events to introduce people to new instructors, new studios in the city of Vancouver. So with them, we created this thing called the M-Box, and I reach out to my peers in the food industry, all local, who sell to us wholesale, a combination of selling and donating products, so that we can create these boxes that have like over $80 worth of product, but we sell them for $40. And we're the only box that I know of locally that is selling out like just as we launch it. Because once we did this in April, the response was amazing and word got out that you're getting so much value. But not only that, you are supporting local businesses and you're getting to have kind of this experience with other products you might not have heard of before. So of course, Granola Girl is going to be in there. And people might know that, but they might not have heard of Hidden Garden Cookies or Tribe ACV or Galloway's, you know, hazelnut cake mix. And now they know not only are they supporting local products, but they're getting to know new products as well that they might not have heard of. And I can honestly say, like, it's a pleasure for me to meet the owners in person. Like, someone just dropped off the cans of Tribe ACV soda. And they're dropping it off to my front porch. You know, we're all safe, keeping a safe distance. I see them in the window, say hi. We have a conversation through my little window. And it's a way for me to just continuously engage with my community and also the customers out there who support us.
How do we get one of those boxes?
I buy one of those? Because honestly, we're now increasing it to 60 boxes. And there's already 50 people on the wait list. So it becomes this, like, I got to get on the list, right? And we're just selling out. So, yeah, I'll get you on the list. And then I'll be able to deliver it to you, too, because I'm the delivery driver.
I'll pick it up. I'll definitely take a few, and then we'll just give it away on our side.
Yeah, so what I wanted to mention about that is why half of the items are donated is that we're able to purchase these at better than wholesale pricing. That's why the costs are low when you buy the box. But also, for every 5 boxes that we sell, we've got 1 box to donate. And we started doing it with the frontline workers. We were donating these amazing care packages to hospitals like St. Paul's, VGH. We were delivering them to senior care home facilities for the staff. And for the month of May, I got pretty specific because it was Mother's Day, so we had a Mother's Day theme. I was looking for single mothers who were also healthcare workers, because it's like, I know the challenges of being a mom, being self-employed and being at home. And on top of that, they had their kids at home. So it's like, these moms deserve some self-love, right? So let's find them. The community nominated them, people that they knew, and they were able to gift it. So for the month of June, by the time this comes out, I'm looking for single dads who are healthcare workers. And they get to have this beautiful box of like amazing products so that they might not have to go grocery shopping for one day and give themselves a break.
That's really good. That's really good. Yeah, if we can help in any way, just let me know. I'll definitely want to pick some boxes up from you whenever we can. And we'll just give them out on our platform here.
Yeah, maybe a contest or a raffle.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. We'll figure something out. So our the Exchange Podcast, we have a lot of young entrepreneurs, and well, entrepreneurs that's been in business for many years as well. Any advice to them when they're starting off a new product company like yours? Well, not like yours, but it can be anything.
First of all, there are a lot of people who come to me for advice or mentorship or consulting about getting into the food industry. And right off the bat, and I think my colleagues would agree with me, is like, this is not the easiest industry to get into. It's very male dominated. There's so much going on behind the scenes that I was unaware of that I had to learn, like logistics and distributors and brokers and margins and all things like that. And at the end of the day, the margins that we get as the owners and manufacturers is like so small, we wonder why we're doing it. So right off the bat, I'd be like, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it until it consumes you to the point that you can't not do it. You know what I mean? Like, even though people are telling you, no, don't do this, it's really tough, why would you want to get into it? There's something in your heart that really is telling you, I don't care what everyone says. I got to do it. And even if I did it and I failed, at least I know I gave it my best. At least I can say I've tried, I've experienced it, and now I know for sure. And I can move on.
Money is secondary in this kind of stuff. It's more the purpose. It's passion. It's more the purpose and the passion behind it and the why, right? Like, this is something like, you know, my grandma started years ago, and I want to keep her name going, right? So and there's no stopping them, regardless what they're making.
Yeah. So for me, I know, like, Granola Girl isn't creating like a gold mine, right? But what I know, the reason and the why I created it is for connection. It was to meet other amazing, inspiring, creative entrepreneurs that I never, never, never would have met had I not had this business. It's opened so many doors for me, created like really amazing friendships, and just, you know, finding your tribe, right? Like people who just get it, who are all doing it for the passion, for the purpose. And they've made more money in their corporate jobs, but they're happier creating like a small craft drink or cookie than they were being a lawyer, for example.
Mm-hmm. So it's not the happiness there.
It's not about the money for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. So tell me more about mentorship. Is this a business of yours, or is this something that you just kind of enjoy doing?
Well, it started off very organically, where I was invited to organizations like Minerva or Young Women in Business, or invited to a lot of UBC lectures on marketing to talk about my product. And then I would take on interns. And once that I became introduced to this whole generation, you know, the 20-something-year-olds who are Gen Z, I really, really loved their energy, their enthusiasm, their passion, and curiosity for what it was like to be in my shoes. But also as a female, like how to balance it with like having a family. I have 3 teenagers running a business, running a household, and they were really curious about that. So I actually became certified as a life coach. I also became certified as a Discover Your Sacred Gifts guide. And what that does, it helps people who are career exploring, who are in that phase of maybe transitioning from one job to another, and seeing and getting really clear about what their sacred gifts are, because that is what I would say is the secret to a more sustainable life, a life that's more fulfilling and helps you feel more on purpose. So when we can focus on first identifying what your strengths are, and then using your strengths and sacred gifts or superpowers towards what you really love and what's meaningful to you, that's what's going to be the intersection of building like a life that you dream of. And there's a Japanese word for it. It's called ikigai.
Ikigai. Okay.
It's like the intersection of doing what you're good at combined with what you love. And that's the program that I do with not just students, but also millennials are at that point where they're like just going from job to job, right? And they're like, I want to find a job where I can make a lot of impact that's meaningful to me, that has, that contributes to the world like in a bigger way. And really it's all starts with, well, what's first meaningful to you? And then let's do this matchmaking service of finding this ideal job that aligns with what your personal values and goals are. And that's how you're going to be able to stick to it.
Biggest part of my job is the mentorship side. Yeah. Either internal staff or clients and associates that I deal with. And I think probably 50% of my day is spent mentoring, which I don't know I even do. It's just communication going back and forth. And honestly, you actually touched on this. I know a lot of people that love their business, but they hate it at the same time. And it always comes down to one thing. They're doing stuff that they do not like just to save a couple of bucks. Yeah. It would make more sense for them to even hire or contract that stuff that they don't like to somebody that likes it, take less of the money, right? And
be have happier. More,
yeah, be happier. But here's another thing, right? So being happy is always the number one. Another thing you can do is that time that you're actually saving by not doing that stuff and delegating it, you can actually spend more time doing the things that you like to generate more.
Yeah, that makes you more money.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're giving the opportunity to someone who actually loves doing it to make money in doing what you don't like doing.
Cleaning the house. Hate it.
Yeah.
Hate it. Why and would I spend 2 hours a day doing it?
Who love it?
Right? Some people love it. It's just stress relief.
Yeah. Yeah. They can get into like a meditative state. That's why I never judge the people who are doing the jobs that we wouldn't do, because I don't want to say they don't have a choice, but maybe they choose that job because they don't have to deal with people, right? We're talking about the cleaners or, you know, the people who pick up our organics and garbage and stuff, but maybe for them, it's like, well, I don't have to deal with people, just like people who work with animals. Right? They choose to do that because they love it. Mm-hmm. Whereas if we had to, I don't know, teach our kids to swim or ride a bike, I thought as a parent, I could do that. But it was so frustrating. So I'm like, let's just pay people who actually enjoy teaching our kids to do those things.
Even like this, like before we even started recording this podcast, we were talking about writing. You know, none of us, like me and you, between us two, like we don't like it. That's something that I cannot... I have a hard time reading. I fail grade 2.
Oh no.
I'm happy with it, right? Because failure is actually key to my success. But like still, I probably, if I go back to school, they'll probably tell me I read like a fifth grader, and I'm happy with that.
That's okay.
I'm okay with that. I got Siri, I got Google around me to answer a lot of things.
Well, look at how many people who would be like deathly afraid to have this online interview or be in front of a camera. Not everyone's great at that.
No, I'm good at communicating, so I just do the stuff that I like to do. Everything else gets delegated stuck it out to a point where I can hire somebody else to do it and move on to the next step.
So the question is, or identifying when things are a struggle for you, just ask yourself, like, I don't enjoy doing this. Let's hand it off to someone who does. I don't want to live with constant like stress or anxiety, where the goal is if you can live with more ease and flow and things are just like happening easily and effortlessly, that's when you know you're like more on purpose than when you are doing things that you don't like.
If you sleep nicely at night, very well at night, you're okay. If you're waking up in the middle of the night saying, hey, look, I got to handle this, I can handle this, your gut is telling you that you just don't. That's the things that you do not like doing.
Look at this time in COVID too, right? There could be people up at night or not sleeping well because they're so panicked, right? They're so worried and anxious about what is going to happen, the uncertainty. But then again, there are people who are sleeping well because they're like, oh, finally, I get to leave the job that I never really liked anyways. Finally, like, I was laid off before I had the opportunity to quit or didn't have the courage to quit. So it can be exciting for some because they wanted this. Like, who didn't want to slow down? Right. So I think it's going to be a divide.
While you're talking, I'm actually just thinking here. When I was younger, the happiest day of the year for me, most people think it's Christmas and it's birthdays. The most happiest days for me was the end of June when school was out. Yeah. That half the day, oh my God. Yeah. I can still feel that energy. And like, I've been out of school for 25 years. Like, I don't know, like,
the last day of school.
The last day of school was the happiest. Like, half the day, go in, clean your locker, and you're gone. And yeah, like,
best. And I could probably say that for my kids too, because I mean, having to get up, have breakfast, you know, get dressed in your uniform, walk to school, which is only 12 minutes. You know, there are some kids who are commuting to school that could take an hour, but they're like rolling out of bed, turning on their screen, being present for the class. And then when they're done their work, they get to play or work out or, you know, talk to their friends. And the schedule isn't as rigid and they're thriving. Like, I've seen my son work harder, work longer, and work more when classes were moved online. And he has the freedom to go ride his bike to, like, you know, unwind between classes or do a workout in the home. So I think this is really teaching us a new way of how things can be run, especially in finances. Like, how many people can let go of the offices they never needed because people can work from home? Like, for some, for sure, it's going to be easier to go to the office if they have young kids. But, you know, like, I heard this guy outside having a meeting while he was walking his dog.
Yeah. We've been that way for the past 10 years.
It's an old system.
It is an old system. And, you know, for us to just pack up the laptops and go home and work was a piece of cake. The only downside from the media company now is we can't record. You know, in person now, so it's going to be this way. But, you know, my mortgage company finance is all done online. I don't even think I meet with clients. It's been years since I met with a client face to face in the office. Now at a job site or something like that, that's a little different. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen over the next 2 to 5 years. And I think more and more people are going to be working from home. Commercial real estate, as in office spaces, I think is going to be really, really hurt bad here in the next little while. It can be two ways. It's going to be affected hard, or people are going to say, okay, I'm done with this. I'm done with home now. I just need to be out of an office. But I think office size will shrink.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you can just create that, I don't know, little storage room in your house as the office where you lock yourself in and it's quiet.
No, it's good. Like Facebook did some research on the amount of people that want to go back to the office versus the amount of people that want to stay. And it was some good numbers. I'm not going to quote it because I'm going to be wrong with the numbers, but it was kind of interesting. And I think that's, I think they, even though it was just Facebook employees, but I think that can, those numbers mean something for the rest of the workforce.
Well, you know what I really feel is going to boom is, have you heard of those ghost kitchens?
Yes. I've been telling people to get into ghost kitchens, my restaurant friends, for years.
Yeah. So I have a commercial kitchen that I rent out to people who are paying high real estate for their retail shops in Vancouver, but they need this ghost kitchen to do more production that they can't pay for having a place in Vancouver.
If I get into a restaurant business, it'll be strictly ghost kitchen and taking that product that sells, whatever, it's pizza sauce or some curry powder or something, and packages that up and selling that all around the world.
Yeah.
Well, not all around the world, but, you know, wherever I can get to.
You can focus on e-commerce.
And key e-commerce is key here.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, we're talking about commercial buildings, but, you know, you look at retail, and that's going to be another sector that's.
Well, let's talk about how you can take Granola Girl to e-commerce world. You might have some connections.
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Yeah, we got connections with that. But yeah, that's an important thing. If somebody is strictly retail, I think opening up another source of income and getting that,
for sure,
getting it out there is quite important.
Yeah, because it is online marketing, right? And getting it in front of the right eyeballs. So
exactly. April, I really appreciate your time. How do people get a hold of you? And when they want to purchase your product, you were saying London Drugs has it. And we're talking just Vancouver here, right? Or is this British Columbia?
We're in Western Canada.
Okay.
You can find Granola Girl at Save On Food stores, London Drugs across Western Canada. There's a lot of small independent stores that carry Granola Girl. So shop wherever you shop, but just look out for it because it might have just been on the shelf the whole time that you never noticed, but it's a bright pink bag. My gosh.
So you know what, while you're looking for it, is this in the cereal section or health section? Where would it be?
Yeah. You could find it in the cereal, natural, or if they have a local section too, that's another place you can find it.
Okay.
The other thing is like just those small specialty shops, right? Like that are in your neighborhood, so you don't have to go far. You could find it at Nestor's Market.
Famous Foods,
yeah. Perfect. Is that a food shop?
I know the place well.
It's also Choices and Whole Foods too. There you go. This is it.
Perfect.
So the thing is, when people see it for the first time, they see it all the time. And here's the thing about Granola Girl is when you try it once, you're hooked. It's got low sugar. Once you try this, everything else is going to feel like too sweet. It's got this beautiful neutral taste that pumpkin seeds, goji berries, cranberries, coconut, really nice neutral flavors come out. So when you eat one bowl, you can have another.
I'm like drooling right now.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like I hand it over.
I usually have a snack at 10 o'clock, so it's like it's 10:45 now. So
better alternative. I'm going to send you one.
Thank you.
You gotta tell me where you live.
Yeah, we'll do after this call here. But like I said, I want to purchase a few boxes here to give away. I love what you're doing for what you did in May is awesome, and what you're gonna be doing in June with the giveaways, that's awesome as well.
Thank you. Well, it just goes to show that it's working, because I don't know how you found me, but I had like good news to share, and I wanted to spread the word. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to tell your audience about it.
You're welcome. I'll tell my team thank you. I think they found you somehow. So we're always out there looking for people.
That's awesome.
April, we'll have all your information on this podcast and down below if you're watching on YouTube and Facebook.
Say the easiest way to access me is Instagram, like message April Maybellia, The Granola Girl. Those are the main two. I'm also on Facebook. So I'm easy to access and I welcome any messages.
The Granola Girl on Instagram, correct? Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Hang tight. Let me just get off this, stop recording here.
Okay.